Will the New England Patriots properly use the TEs in 23? Stay tuned. You're about to be locked in to the Locked On Patriots podcast.
You are Locked On Patriots, your daily New England Patriots podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all of you Foxborough faithful. Thank you once again for making Locked On Patriots a part of your New England Patriots coverage and also your first listen every day. Remember, Locked On Patriots free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. So smash that subscribe button, download, subscribe to, follow Locked On Patriots wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode, folks, brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, more odds, and more lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Patriots fans, thank you for joining me here on this Wednesday episode of the pod. I'm your host, Mike DeBate. I cover your New England Patriots for Patriots Country of Sports Illustrated. So let me know what's on your mind. Reach out to me. Anything you want to know, anything you want to find out, reach out to me on the Bird app at MDABATENFL. While you're out there showing some love to the Twitterverse, please be sure to follow the Locked On Patriots account as well at LO_Patriots. Mets fans, it's Wednesday. And what better way to spend a Wednesday than the way that we spend pretty much every Wednesday here on Locked On Patriots? Talking football with the Countess of Klaz herself, columnist extraordinaire from Pat's Propaganda, also the host of her very own podcast, A Clear Perspective of Patriots podcast, found on Full Press Coverage Patriots, and wherever you consume your podcasts, the illustrious Claire Clazzy Claire Cooper joins me today. Claire, thanks very much for joining me from across the pond today.
Well, it's nice to be here. Thank you very much for having me on Wednesday, as usual.
Absolutely. Wednesday, Mondays were created for Murph. Wednesdays were whittled for the Countess of Klaz. And that's exactly how we're going to approach this today. Claire, you're in for a treat, my friend, this morning and this afternoon, this evening, whenever you happen to be listening to this podcast, folks. We're talking a little tight endage. That's right, folks. Positional previews continue here on Locked On Patriots. Murph and I broke down the offensive line on Monday, and now we're going to go into the tight ends. And Claire, after Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry signed their deals to become New England Patriots in the 2021 offseason, I know you and I were excited right off the bat. The rebirth of tight endage, well, maybe a little more excitement on this side. I know Claire was not too happy with the fact that Ryan Izzo was not going to be in the fold anymore, but not going to bring that up too much. I'm not going to see the pouting sea. And then I have displeased the Countess. What to do?
We're
going to regale her with a tale. Well, in any case, that's a very, very bad Billy Zane impression. I don't know why I keep doing these. Claire laughs at them. So,
I do.
Yeah, well,
I get trouble. Well, thank you. I laugh.
No, yes, you do. She encourages this, folks. Please send your hate mail to me. This is not her fault. But in any case, folks, bottom line, the New England Patriots were looking to add a spark into that position that really had been kind of dormant in terms of usage, in terms of productivity since the retirement or the leaving, I should say, of Rob Gronkowski from New England. Yeah. We didn't quite get it in year one. 18.6% of the Patriots' offensive snaps contained the two tight end sets, which we were really looking forward to seeing. Mm-hmm. 2022 comes in, you figure, okay, maybe this is an opportunity now for the Patriots to utilize the tight ends a little bit more, accentuate the seam routes that Hunter Henry uses, really get Jonnu Smith involved in the red zone, let people see what a typical threat he can be in that area. But again, it did not happen for the New England Patriots, and this was a continued problem for the Pats. So when you look at the tight end positional evaluation for 2022, what displeased the Countess? What pleased the Countess? What was your take on the usage of tight ends in 2022, Claire?
Well, to say what pleased me, you do have to jump back to 2021, because how they utilized Hunter Henry in that year is how they should be using him. That was kind of like, you know, the blueprint for how to use him as a tight end. And I know that's kind of slightly moot because we have a different sort of OC and this, you know, we're talking about a completely different season really from 21 to 22. But I looked back because I wanted to compare the 2 years because a lot of people kind of write off the 2020 season in a way anyway. But I really wanted to compare the figures when it came to 21 and 22 with these guys sort of under Mac for, you know, the 4 years. And in 2021, Hunter was ranked the 10th tight end on PFF. Mm-hmm. And he had, for example, 74 targets, 50 receptions, 603 receiving yards and 9 touchdowns. Now, obviously, that's not sort of in the very cream of the crop of tight ends, as people like to say, but in the top 10, I think he's pretty darn good. And mm-hmm. and he had 0 drops as well. So it was shown that they knew how to use this guy productively, correctly, you know, whatever sort of terminology you want to use. Then right. flip it to 2022. And yes, I know we're talking about coaching as well. Everything is so integrated. But when we just looking at how the tight ends were used, trying to put in a vacuum, Hunter had 57 targets for 41 receptions for 509 yards and 2 touchdowns. Now, he dropped from 10th in 2021. This is only on PFF. So, you know, I'm only going on one source to 50th. In 2022, big he just off. About made the first page of PFF. Now, that can be put to several factors. Granted, you know, things drop off, skill sets drop off, you know, systems change, that kind of thing. And in the case of the Patriots, they had a different OC. Did they have an OC? I know this is still, you know, one of those things, but we'll pin that aside because, you know, it's semi-relevant. That's a significant amount considering it was the same quarterback and the same tight end at the same team with the same head coach. When you look at Jonnu Smith, the picture is quite different. And I think this is very reflective of how the Patriots and him have sort of melded, if you like, because in 2021, Jonnu had 43 targets, 28 receptions, 294 receiving yards and 1 touchdown. In 2022, he had 37 targets, 27 receptions, 245 yards, and 0 touchdowns. He went from 49th on PFF in 2021 to 63rd in 2022. But the numbers of how they used him aren't greatly different in the way that sort of the Hunter Henry numbers were different. And in comparison to, if you use the comparison of Hunter to Jonnu, again, you've got very different numbers. Now, these are only stats, and I know I'm throwing lots of numbers at people, and I apologize. I'm trying to really show you guys the picture
They tell the story. No.
Yeah, of how they know how to use Hunter Henry. You can't tell me that Josh McDaniels is the only guy in that building who knows how to use Hunter Henry correctly. Don't believe it for a second. The thing that's sort of more significant is how Jonnu Smith isn't necessarily being utilized successfully, or how Jonnu Smith isn't very successful in the Patriots system. We're not really sure. It's 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other, really. But it does really show a good picture of, we're not quite sure after these several years if Jonnu Smith, as a great athlete as it is, and you guys know I don't trash players, I don't do that. Sometimes I'm a bit negative about them, but I won't trash a player, and I'm not trashing Jonnu Smith. He's a good tight end. I'm just not sure that he can be used in the Patriots system sort of productively. I just don't think that they can unlock that secret to bringing out of him what they need. Whereas Hunter Henry, they can, and they have, and we've seen that they can. So, flipping it, let's hope that 2023, they turn that key again, as you guys all like to say, in regards to keys for success and things like that. And you know, they really break out how to use him again with Mac Jones. I want that. We saw that Mac Hunter connection, and it was a beautiful, delicious thing in 2021. And we saw tiny little sprinklings, tiny little grains of sweet sugar of it in 2022. So flipping it for 2023, give me a bag full of that. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good. I like that. And I like that that comparison. And I'm glad that you mentioned the dichotomy between Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, their learning curves, how they assimilate into the Patriots system. Josh talked about this last year, and I remember being on a conference call, a Zoom call, with Josh and several members of the media last year, where the tight end position came up, and specifically Jonnu Smith's usage and the reason why Hunter Henry had assimilated himself so well into the Patriots offense, and Smith continued to struggle. Hunter Henry is one of the best route runners I've covered. That includes wide receivers. That includes tight ends. He didn't get the opportunity to utilize that skill set much in 2022, but when he did, and he was able to utilize the seam routes off of play action, you saw what could happen. Hunter Henry breaking for big yardage, getting into the end zone. Only two touchdowns for Henry this year. Should have been three, folks. Yes, I'm going out there on that limb. That should have been three. There is no excuse why that wasn't called, but I digress. The season's over. I can't cry over spilled milk. But Josh, I thought, gave good insight on Jonnu Smith and what his difficulties were. And he mentioned the difficulty in trying to really, I think, absorb the Patriots' language, the Patriots' determinations in terms of how to deploy their tight ends. It's a difficult system to crack. And I'm using Josh's words exactly here. The tight end position here and really everywhere, but he was specific to New England, is unique because you're involved in so many different things. You're involved in run blocking. You're involved in pass receiving, pass protection, alerts, motion. Especially if you're a move tight end, you're really required to kind of be all of those. And that's something that I think Jonnu maybe has struggled a little bit. That New England vernacular that you see so often, you know, in whether it be in media or whether it be the fans talking about it and how difficult it is to come in here and learn the offensive system for the Patriots, may end up being a learning curve a little bit for the new players that come in, especially a tight end like Jonnu Smith. So it'll be interesting to see if that continues this year or if the Patriots have seen enough, like you said, in Jonnu Smith, where it just may not be the fit that everybody thought it would be. I still think there's a lot to like about what Hunter Henry brings to the table. I love Jonnu Smith. I think he's a very hard worker. I think he's a good player and a good weapon for what the Patriots need him for, but the Pats brass is going to have to be the one to make that determination clear.
It's one of those things, isn't it? It doesn't always have to be that there's anything wrong with anybody. It can be a really good team. It can be a really good system. It can be a really good offense. It can be a really good player, but it just doesn't all connect well. And if it did, then every single NFL team would probably be like really successful if everything connect, because it wouldn't be down to any kind of mojo or atmosphere or, you know, the sort of the human nature of it as well. You know, we look at it on paper, like we've been talking about the statistics. It isn't about just what's there on paper, how they add up on paper, you know, what Jonnu Smith is on paper, you know, his list of his skills and stuff and how they could be used. Sometimes it just comes down to the fact that things just don't work, and it's kind of nobody's fault or everybody's fault, depending on which sort of side of the coin you want to be, glass half full, glass half empty kind of person. I'd like to say it's nobody's fault because it sounds kind of better. And I think it might just be it's one of those things. It's unfortunate. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, and ultimately it may not work. And I think that's going to be one of the big keys and one of the big questions for the Patriots to answer in the offseason. But New England is committed to making significant offensive changes. As we speak, they're interviewing in Foxborough, or at least we think they are. We haven't gotten official confirmation at the time Claire and I are recording this, but it appears that the Patriots are definitely searching in earnest for a new offensive coordinator. Does that mean a resurgence of the tight end position? Well, it might if they bring a certain guy in that a lot of people are talking about. Claire and I are going to talk about what the new offensive coordinator may mean for the tight endage position when this episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast continues. But first, Claire, I continue to be more and more excited by the day by our new partner and sponsor of today's show, and that is the mobile game Ultimate Football GM. Folks, again, I say it all the time. I cannot say it enough. You will absolutely have a blast with this game. I'm playing it. I love it. All of our hosts over at the Locked On Podcast Network are competing now, and we absolutely love it as well. If you've ever dreamed of becoming an NFL GM and managing your football franchise, well, your dream can come true, and this game is definitely for you. You can manage every strategic aspect of the game, play through the season, and lead your team to glory. You're responsible for hiring the right coaches and coordinators. I know a lot of you in New England would love that job right now. Trading players, making draft picks, navigating your franchise through free agency and the draft, all the ups and downs of the season, you're in control. And all this in a challenging and realistic game world. Ultimate Football GM is completely free, playable offline, so you can do and you can play on the go as you want, when you want to. And Locked On Patriots listeners, this is just for you. You get a 100% free boost to your franchise when using the promo code Locked On. That's in all caps. That's Locked On in all caps. So make sure to check it out today in the game store. To download the game, just visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up on the app stores. That's ultimate-gm.com. Ultimate Football GM. Start your dynasty today. Patriots fans, the illustrious Claire Clazzy Claire Cooper of Pat's Propaganda and Full Press Coverage Patriots joins me here today. Each and every Wednesday, she brings the wisdom and counsel, the class and pizzazz, all of that. It's all here in the studio as we speak. And Claire, we're talking tight-ended, so you can see the smile on Claire's face if you're watching on YouTube. If you're listening to this podcast, you can feel it. You can sense it. It's there. Trust me. Claire, we talked a little bit in the previous segment. I thought you gave phenomenal insight on what the Patriots' evaluation, or I should say the evaluation of the Patriots' usage of the tight ends in 2021 and including 2022 as well, definitely. But there is an undercurrent of Patriots fans, Patriots media, us, that feel that perhaps the struggles at the position have not completely been on the shoulders of the players themselves, that maybe the usage, the play calling, that type of background may have contributed to their difficulties in the field and may not have their best interest in heart. In other words, they're not being used the proper way, Claire. You see things us mere mortals don't see when it comes to tight endage. When you look at the way that Josh McDaniels called the game with the two tight end sets, with Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, then you go to the Matt Patricia, Joe Judge experiment where these guys were calling plays. Mac Jones looked like a different type of quarterback when throwing the tight ends when he was utilizing them properly. How much of this do you think was on the coaching situation? And do you think a new offensive coordinator, which the Patriots are right now in the midst of trying to figure out, could that be the key for a resurgence in 2023?
Well, I think so. I mean, a lot of it, talking about who the coach may be, a lot of it is going to depend on what kind of OC that they bring in, or the sort of the different ways, the Shanahan experience and this, that, and the other sort of thing. So in regards to showing or shedding some light on how coaching can affect it is, as we mentioned previously, as I threw all the stats out to you and stuff like this, and we talked about Hunter Henry, we talked about Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith's utilization sort of plateaued. It seemed to be pretty much the same for the 2 years. So I think that's kind of more than simply just coaching. Hunter Henry gives you a brilliant, glaring kind of obviousness of how the coaching affects it, because the 2021, when he had Josh McDaniels, he was utilized well. There was that great connection with Matt Jones, the 9 touchdowns, this and the other, as we discussed. 2022, you've got your defense guy calling the plays and this, that, and the other. And I don't think he quite knew how to use a tight end properly. I think he needs a little bit of schooling, the Clancy Clare School of tight endage, of how to use your tight endage correctly. Maybe, just kidding. Yeah.
They're taking applications and enrollments next week, folks.
Yes, exactly. The off-season, that's what the off-season is for.
That's right.
But seriously, that kind of gives you the, well, it's got something to do with the coaching. It's obvious that Hunter was successful, then he wasn't, because he wasn't being used successfully in the right way. So a lot of it falls on the coaching shoulders when you can use Hunter Henry as an example of that. Now, you mentioned in regards to OC, who they're bringing in, the big hubbub about it being Bill O'Brien, and that I think it's because that's the one that makes the most sense for us as Patriots fans. Now, just because he comes in doesn't mean he's going to be brilliant, doesn't mean it's going to be successful. But we don't want to think about that right now. We just want them to get an OC, to be honest with you. But if they bring in the likes of Bill O'Brien, he utilised the 12-man personnel quite considerably. You know, he was big into the two tight ends, two wide receivers. So that works very well into what I want, the kind of jam that I want going down. Now, that's going to depend on who the tight ends are in this season coming, I suppose I should say, sorry, in 2023. because I know that we'll kind of mention, maybe talk about this in a little bit, but we don't necessarily know who's going to be there. So it's all very well saying that he'll bring in the 12 personnel, but not if you haven't got two very competent tight ends. Now, if there is Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, I still don't know if you will utilize that 12-man personnel very well, simply because of the whole thing that we've already touched on and we've talked about before, how Jonnu Smith maybe not isn't jiving in the Patriots. So it's going to depend on that. And I think really sort of the main thing to say when it comes to discussing the OC and what we might end up with and what we could get out of it, that kind of thing, is the key. The biggest thing at this stage, I believe, is utilizing what works for the quarterback. Yes, I want tight end edge. People want wide receiver one. Yeah, I completely, fully get all that. I think the most important thing that we need to not lose sight of is how this guy works with the quarterback, because that's where you build your team sort of from. And I'm not saying that the quarterback's more important, excuse me, than everyone else, because you guys all know that I'd have a whole team of tight ends. So, you know, because I'm a lunatic, but whatever. It kind of starts she with... and we.
Fruit Loops. Sorry, Countess. Couldn't resist.
It's true. It's fine. It's true. But yeah, to be serious, I think that's the thing that we sort of need to focus on the most is the OC that works best with Mac. And that's the other reason why everybody's throwing sort of Bill O'Brien, or most people, maybe not everybody, is throwing the kind of the B.O.B. thing out there, is because of the Alabama connection. We think he's got a very good connection with Mac, and we really, I think we're just craving, as Patriots fans, we're craving that positivity. We're craving that connection that they've got, and hoping that them having that connection brings back the success of Mac Jones, gets him to grow further, and we get a 2023 of what we hoped 2022 would be in regards to Mac Jones growing, the utilization of the two tight ends and that kind of thing more. So yeah, I think it kind of comes down to that more than anything else at this particular point in the off season.
Spot on, in my opinion. I think that's exactly what Patriots fans not only needed to hear, but also what I think is beneficial for everybody to hear. And that Bill O'Brien is not going to come in if he is the guy. And I've gone on record, Murph and I went on record earlier this week. We've talked about this several times. I believe Bill O'Brien to be the best fit for this team as an offensive coordinator in 2023. You mentioned what he can do for Mac, his connection with him, his ability to maximize his capabilities. I think Bill O'Brien is in the best shape to be able to do that. But that being said, he's not going to come in with a magic wand, wave it, and all of a sudden get massive production out of Henry and Smith the way he did. I like that. That's pretty good. That was good. But I like that.
Wait, I have props, folks. I have props. I can do this.
She's got props, folks. Look at that. What is that? Oh, there we go. That's okay. That's looks like a feather duster. Like, okay.
It's a wand.
You can listen to me rant on tight ends, folks, while Claire cleans the top of her desk. we are going off the rails this morning on pay. Okay, no, all kidding aside, when it comes to the tight endage position, when it comes to what Bill O'Brien can do, Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith are different players than Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. One of the big reasons why Bill was able to find such success with Rob and Aaron, because Aaron was very much wide receiver-like in his moves. He almost used him as another type of weapon in that regard. And Rob really was the prototypical tight end. He could play the move. He could play the Y. He could do it all. One of the most unique athletes that I've ever covered, and really one of the most productive athletes that I've ever covered. You don't necessarily get to harness that lightning in a bottle once again. Love what Hunter Henry can do as a Y tight end. Love what he can do on the scene. I still think Jonnu can be better utilized in the red zone. I look for Bill to come in and do that, but it's not going to be a magic wand type of resurgence for this group unless the players buy into it. You're going to have to see improvement from Jonnu Smith. You're going to have to see an understanding of the playbook, a recognition of where he needs to be, and also you're going to need to see him work very well in tandem with Mac Jones. If we see those things from Jonnu in 2023, could be a better year. I think it'll be a big year for the tight ends. If not, you're probably looking at more of the same, but more production from Hunter Henry, because I think no matter who comes in, you're going to realize that's one of the best connections Mac Jones has when it comes to trying to put points on the board and get big time yardage.
I do hope so. I very much hope so.
We know the Countess definitely hopes so, and I know you all hope so too, but will these two even be on the field together next year? Yeah, I know. A lot of people are talking about it. As incredulous as it may seem, the Countess has an answer for us. She's going to pull on a little bit of her clairvoyance. That's right, folks. The tea leaves are here. We're going to read them in just a moment when this episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast wraps up. But first, keep in mind that today's episode is brought to you by our good friends over at Bet Online, their number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, analysis. You can get the latest odds and trend for every professional and amateur league out there, from pro football to college. We've got it all at betonline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can even find those at BetOnline as well. The fastest, the easiest way to get your betting info, head to the website today. Use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Patriots fans, once again, I am pleased, I am honored to be joined by Claire Clazzy Claire Cooper, columnist extraordinaire from Pat's Propaganda, podcast host extraordinaire from A Claire Perspective, a Patriots podcast found on Full Press Coverage Patriots. Claire, we are talking all things tight endage. Claire has had a ball today. I've had a blast, as always. But we know, Pat's fans, that this offseason is going to be an important one for the future of the franchise. A lot of offensive changes are expected. Special teams changes, maybe defensive tweaks here and there. We all want to know what the Patriots are thinking, especially when it comes to tight endage. We've talked Hunter Henry, we've talked Jonnu Smith today, but will either or both be a part of the team in 2023? Well, good news, folks. To help us crack the code, we are fortunate to have our very own famous sage, our famous soothsayer, the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-omniscient Countess of Claz. That is right, folks. It's time for a little clairvoyance. And the tea leaves have arrived. These tea leaves that Claire is about to read, folks, hermetically sealed, kept in an ancient ceramic tea kettle. Really, it's a gorgeous little thing. You got to see this. On the shelf of Locked On headquarters since noon on Monday, no one, not even the illustrious Clazzy Claire Cooper herself, knows the contents of these tea leaves until now. So, Claire, in your infinite wisdom, in your clairvoyant essence, when you look at the tight end position, are we looking at a situation this season where both Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith are on the field? Or have we seen the last of this duo in the New England Patriots uniforms when it comes to 2023?
I feel like you really oversell me on this segment, Michael. I really do.
But it's all about, it's the clairvoyance. See?
Which I think is oversold. But anyway, it's lovely.
I don't think so. I don't oversell. No, I think so. You got to, she's got a clairvoyant gift, folks. After all, her name is Claire. She kind of has to.
Well, when it comes to whether or not they'll have two tight ends, this is the thing. The first thing is I really hope that whatever they do, they really sort out, because they entered, I think, yeah, the 2020 sort of free agency signings, they had to spend a lot of money on Hunter and Smith because they were in a desperate situation. All they'd got left in their bag of tricks was Ryan Izzo. And as much as I adore this guy, my complete rebound, he wasn't, all he ever can be is a tight end two or three anyway. And I fully understand this. I know his limitations in that respect. I think he was a bit better than people gave credit for because he was compared to Gronk, but that's another thing for another day that we've already gone over. So that's really all they sort of had left. You know, they brought Ben Watson almost out of retirement and things like this. It was like they were really scraping a situation. So they went out and they paid a lot of money for two tight ends. Now, they paid a lot of money for two really good tight ends, and I fully appreciate that. And we discussed how they've been successful and maybe not quite so successful in the previous two segments. The thing is, in regards to moving on from each, you know, of the Titans, you've got Hunter is in his last year of his deal. So you'd hope that they would look at the last 2 years, you know, of production from him and be like, okay, we might need to save some money in regards to that, but we don't want to get rid of him. So let's sort of maybe rework his deal if that's kind of necessary in his last year. Because if they get rid of him to save money, it feels beyond crazy. And that's not saying it from the perspective of a tight endage enthusiast, which I know I am. I can be non-biased and say, well, he's the only tight end on that roster there that has been really productive for you in the last 2/3 years. So you'd get rid of him. What, you'd empty the cupboard completely once again and dial yourself back to, you know, the crumbs of 2020. Just seems crazy. In regards to Jonas Smith, I know, like, as we've said, in regards to performance and things like that, he may be somebody that they want to move on from just because he might not fit, he might not work. There's money when it links to him, and I'm not even going to attempt, because Miguel would do this much better than me, but from all I can say is I know that there's dead money, and I know that there is money if he's traded. He does release some cap space, but it will cost. Jonnu Smith will cost the Patriots regardless of whether he stays or goes, is the extent of what I can say, that, you know, in all fairness.
Yeah.
Now, they might be happy to eat that cost to be able to trade him away because they don't think he works in the system. It's losing money where they sort of need money to be spending on other things, possibly the wide receiver one that I know a lot of people want to, and they need money to spend there. Now, we discussed previously in regards to bringing in Bill O'Brien, and you mentioned how kind of well he utilized the tight ends and how that might be the saving grace for Jonnu Smith. They might actually bring someone in who really knows how to use Jonnu. Jonnu finally clicks, you know, within the third year in the system, and maybe, you know, things go nice and they get to, you know, productive tight ends because they know how to utilize them. Logic would suggest that both of those tight ends are on the Patriots roster in 2023 because of the reasons that I said. Jonnu costs and is an elite, you know, he's an elite athlete who I think may still have a chance at working, possibly under Bill O'Brien. And Hunter just makes sense because he's literally one of the most productive members of the offense, really. So, right. Or he has been, I should say. So to trade him away, and he's your veteran presence in regards to tight endage as well. So if you're looking at bringing in some new guys through the draft or anything like that, if you've got rid of Hunter Henry, you then have no veteran tight end presence.
Right.
And if the goodness forbid Nick Caley goes on because he gets the job at the Jets or something like that, you also don't have the tight end coach that you had. So you've cleaned out the cupboard completely and you've got no one there in the tight end room with experience within the Patriots system. Obviously, there's other coaches and stuff like this. Don't get me wrong. They're not like sitting in a corner by themselves. Right. I fully appreciate that. But if you've got a new tight end coach and you've got no veteran presence, you've really sort of emptied the drawers when it comes to experience within that system. So then it would hinder the development of the newbies, of the young guys, of the drafts or whoever you take sort of thing. So I think logic really suggests that these two guys really sort of need to be there. Now, if they did find a way of trading away Jonnu Smith, yeah, I think a lot of us are a bit like, oh, okay, shame it didn't work, sort of, never mind this, that and the other. I think they really need to address this because you're looking at a future. You haven't got much tight endage for your future. And I think that they need to make sure that they're building. We saw this year in regards to O-line, the depth that they didn't have. What happened a couple of years ago in regards to tight ends, the depth that they didn't have. They need to sort of be thinking about this. So when we go into the draft, and I know obviously that will be talked about a little bit in the future, when we move forward into that, I know a lot of people will say, well, it's not a position of need. Okay, it's not a position of need necessarily this moment. Mm-hmm. But halfway through the season, if there's any injuries, things like that, you really want to be getting young guys in and you want to get them in while you've got a good veteran who knows what he's doing in regards to Hunter Henry. So you want them evolving in the system when you've still got somebody like that in, because he's in the last year of his deal. So, you know, that's we don't really know. So I think in that respect, for me personally, it's you've got to keep Henry and you've got to get some draft in some really good tight ends. But logic for me would suggest that yes, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith are on the Patriots. So I would not be surprised if we roll up in sort of August, September time when it goes down to the 53 and there's Hunter Henry and there's Jonnu Smith out there. Nil surprise at all. If there's nothing in the backup situation in regards to draft and stuff, I'll be a little bit concerned. But that is a topic for another day.
Yeah. You know, you sell your clairvoyance short, but I think you made a few excellent points on this matter. First of all, you're absolutely right. If the Patriots do decide that they wanted to cut Jonnu before June 1st, they're going to owe him an additional $1.8 million in addition to about $19 million in dead money, according to Over the Cap. So when you're looking at a $17.2 million cap number for Jonnu Smith, a $15.5 million cap number for Hunter Henry, you're looking at some big costs in terms of jettisoning these guys, even though Hunter right now stands to save the Patriots 10.5 if they were to cut or trade him either pre-June 1st or post-June 1st. I still think what he brings to the table is much more valuable than that, and I think the Patriots realize that as well. And Miguel has talked about this a few times. I'll let him talk about it the next time he joins me here on Locked On Patriots. But I think Hunter Henry is a prime candidate for maybe a contract reworking or an extension or something to that effect. They're going to try to do something simply because of the synergy he has with Mac. The Patriots are serious about committing to Mac, at least in the short term and maybe even in the long term. I think Hunter Henry is a guy that needs to be here. So I would agree. I think both of these guys are in the fold when it comes to the start of the 2023 season. And who knows, maybe the Patriots do have an eye on someone in the draft. This is a team that does not draft by need, folks. They draft by fit. They draft by potential. And I know there's someone that Claire is dying to discuss that went to the University of Notre Dame. So we are going to save that, folks, for the next time that Claire joins us here, because we're going to start to take a look ahead at potential draftees. And I know Claire is excited to talk about them. We will talk about that next time, Claire. In the meantime, thank you so much for joining me here today from across the pond. Before I let you go, please let everyone know where they can interact with you, what you have coming up on the horizon in the offseason from the great pen, the great voice of Claire Cooper.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Mike, as always. I love talking tight-ended, as you all can tell. Yes, I am not disappearing in the offseason, folks. You will still get a Claire perspective. It'll be a bit less frequent than in-season, but a Claire perspective was born in the off season almost 2 years ago now. So it will continue and soldier through the off season. So you will still get to hear me, if you so choose to, on a Claire perspective, a Patriots podcast brought to you by fullpressbridge.com. And please keep an eye out for Pat's propaganda. It is the off season. So obviously coverage is a little bit lighter, but me and Tom are still there working hard. So we're trying to get some things in the process. So yeah, so come the next season, there'll be maybe some new stuff over at Pat's prop. So just keep an eye out from where you can find me, and always on the Bird app, as they like to say, at Clazzy Claire.
Absolutely, folks. I can't recommend it highly enough. Pen to paper, voice to microphone. Check out all the great work that Claire does in the off season, especially. It's going to be an interesting and exciting one here in Foxborough, and we'll continue to break it down each and every day right here on Locked On Patriots as well. Now that you've made us your first listen, folks, please make your second listen our good friends over at Locked On NFL. All the major stories throughout the Shield, all covered on a daily basis, available wherever you get your podcasts, either on the Odyssey app, whether it comes to YouTube. Definitely download, subscribe to, follow wherever you get your podcasts. And once again, folks, thank you so much for making Locked On Patriots a daily part of your New England Patriots coverage and your first listen every day. Once again, on behalf of the illustrious Claire, Clazzy Claire Cooper, I'm Mike DeBate. Stay safe, stay well, be the change you wish to see in the world. Have a great day, everyone.